Hello, today's sermon is an introduction lecture 4, actually introduction lecture 5. Today's scripture is Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Again, the second time of the theme so-called, look at the forest first to see the trees. So last week we looked at the big forests of the Bible, in particular the Old Testament, the structure of the Old Testament. So I thought of the reasons why God gave the Bible to God's people through the record rather than memories. This is the miracle of miracles and the blessings of blessings. Written about 3,500 years ago, God's will has so far in us. When we see the Bible, we realize how deeply God's heart is. I personally appreciate its thrill and cherish. It is the most important life of the saints to read and meditate the Word of God daily basis. The Bible is a story of God and man. It is not a story like a broken monopoly of a single nation such as Israel, but it is more like the intervention from creation to existence of us, including Satan here. It was like the story like a very dramatic drama. It is important to take a look at the history from the beginning to the end of this story. So first of all, it is necessary to know the first events and the reasons why this story of the Bible has begun and in understanding the Bible correctly, so that we can fully understand the continuing stories, the subsequent, the following stories. So this is where all the Bible stories begin to flow and the direction of the history goes. A very important part of understanding the Bible correctly is the law of the book of five books of Moses, so-called the Torah. As we covered last week, first of all, God promised to make a covenant with his people on Mount Sinai, and he has taught them what it was. So we looked at the correlation of five books of Moses with the Leviticus assented, related to all the other four books. So Leviticus, including the other four books, has a way of living like God's people, to be holy like who God is. So today we continue to see the great forest for the whole Bible first. If we look at the beginning of the Bible, Torah, and the Leviticus covenant, which is at the heart of Torah. So we will look overview the structure of the Old Testament a bit more details compared to last week. The history books. So after five books of Moses, so-called the history books begins with Joshua. So what does this history book tell us? The Joshua, through God, wrote a history of how the Israelites went to Canaan, the land of a promised land, in order to keep the covenant made with God on the Mount Sinai. The book Joshua shows the history of how such a life of the saints was, which was briefly shown in the Numbers, through the 4 years' life in the wilderness before. So Israelites made a covenant with in the Mount Sinai, which is Leviticus, and trained in the wilderness according to the word, which is shown in the Numbers, the book of Numbers. And they've heard the description of the covenant again, especially the second generation, from Moses, which is Deuteronomy. So Moses couldn't bring his people into the promised land, Canaan, but he died in the plains of Moab. So Moses' mission was to bring the Israelites out of Egypt to the entrance to Canaan, and Joshua, the successor of Moses, who is now entering to the promised land. So, So Joshua had a mission to lead the people of Israel. So this story is all about the book of Joshua. So this is the beginning of the history of how to keep the covenant with God in the promised land. So this is the beginning of the history book of how to keep the covenant with God in promised land. And that the books of history actually consist of 12 books. It's listed as Joshua, the first history books after Torah, and followed by Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. So in total, 12 books of history books. So what is special is that the history of the Hebrews is not a general history of the single nation, but it is a history of the covenant with God. And with God's chosen people. So the history of these Hebrews, Israelites, live. Maybe it's just one of the many countries on earth. Because God has played the same role as God's living and God's will to all nations. The history of these Hebrews is not about the single nation's history, but it was more like the story of fulfillment of God's covenant who God made with his people. And whether it was kept or not was written, so including its consequence and how the history is flowing accordingly. So it is the history of the Bible, the plot of the Old Testament, that tells that what kind of life they will live in when they keep their promise or they disobey to it throughout their lives. All their consequence was described in the following history books. So, therefore, without knowing the beginning, the origin of the covenant God made with Israelites, it's not easy to follow why such history is happening in the subsequent history books. So, as is shown in the screen, with the simple plot, whether or not the promise of this Leviticus is properly kept or not has been determined by the rise and fall of the kingdom, Israel kingdom, and the rise and fall of an individual as well. So when I keep my promise, I live a life of peace and blessing. But otherwise, when I'm disobedient, it was a series of trials of tribulation and wandering and slavery, like slavery life in Egypt. That's what the Israelites would have confessed if they truly knew the will of God through the words written and given directly to them. Let's apply the Israelite story to individuals, including us. See, if you live for self-satisfaction and your own profit and your own interests. And when we die, we call God. Then God continues to turn us, his people, back to a position to keep the promise. Then when these people forget the promise of God and walk the pathway for satisfaction and their own interests, do the right thing according to what they think, and they fall again. So it is the story of the Old Testament, like what we've been doing, but also Israelites in the Bible lose their country and are trampled on by the world powers. So what matters to us? What is the promise of that blessing and curse? It is the contents of the Leviticus. The Leviticus, the covenant made with God at Mount Sinai, must know the promise correctly. Do you know if you keep your promise or not? Do you know whether you are receiving the blessing of God or the blessing of Satan? It is not the blessing of God, but the blessing of temptation that Satan is throwing into us. That good things are happening and money comes in and good business doesn't work as promised with God. The only criterion for this kind of discernment is that God must know the way to live like God's people as a holy nation. And the Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they gave them the values, the heavenly values in Mount Sinai. So by having that, you can differentiate what is good and what is bad. So depending on whether you live according to the heavenly value of this promise or not, blessings and curses, not based on our definitions, arise and develop, arise and fall throughout the people's history, mankind history. So therefore, if you don't know the Leviticus properly, you don't know why these things are happening, even when I'm reading the Old Testament. So the covenant Israelites received in Mount Sinai is a two-way covenant. The God makes it clear through the Deuteronomy of Moses, especially about the blessings that come when the people live according to their promises, and the misery given when they live according to their own righteousness and their own thoughts. A typical example is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 about a blessing to keep promises. Yeah, please have a look and read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1 to 4. When you hear the word of the Lord, your God, and obey Him and keep all His commands that I command you today, the Lord your God will make you above all nations of the world. If you obey the Lord your God, all these blessings will come upon you and come to you. Blessed all, also in the city, blessed in the fields and everywhere. Blessed be the children of yours and the fruit of the land, and the calves and cattle, and the calves of the beasts. Blessed be thee, and everything you own. You will be blessed when you come in and out, blessed when you go out. And the Lord shall cause the enemies that have arisen against thee to be defeated before God. And they shall come into God in the way, so they know who God is by His chosen people's history. So, such great blessing is to keep the commandments, ordinances, and the laws God has given us. If you keep your covenant with me in Leviticus, you will say that all these blessings will come upon you. Therefore, we must know the word of God, Leviticus, which can live like a holy nation, holy people, if we truly receive blessings. That's what I think about God, what God wants to say to us as we read the law, the covenant God has given to us. So we need to be cautious of getting the wrong, incorrect interpretation of the book of laws, the Leviticus, and the other books. Some people might instruct us by telling how to bless people, how God wants to bless people through Leviticus, without telling them the reason why, what's the true meaning of the five offerings, for example. Some people might teach that their blessings are only given if offerings and prayers are in place. Some people might emphasize and teach that God doesn't only teach God's promises, even in a number of famous books. Some people might say some positive parts from the book of laws. Some of these books may have been the bestsellers in this world. if some book, if a book says something that we want to hear from it, it is a pitiful blessing, a pitfall of Satan. We can say that it is quite different from the true, the truth the Bible is telling us. The Bible is the history of the covenant and its consequence, whether covenant is kept or not. That when it comes to keeping this covenant, this blessing comes to you and me. And while it doesn't end without being blessed, if we disobey, if Israel disobeyed too, it does not end with not being blessed, but at the end of the promise, judgment and curses come. So Deuteronomy chapter 28 and the latter part, the verse 15 and onwards till verse 68. So how many verses here? Over 55, about 55 verses. It's talking about what would happen when we disobey to the covenant, when you break it. Let me read briefly. If you don't disobey, if you disobey to God, the Lord, and do not keep all His commandments and ordinances, which I command this day, all these curses shall come upon you, shall come to you. You shall be cursed in the city, cursed in the fields. Your basket and bowl of bread shall be cursed. The life of the body, the fruit of the land, the castle and sheep shall be cursed. You will be cursed. The promise for blessings is 14 verses, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Meanwhile, the judgment and curse that comes down to the disobedience is four times as long as the blessing part, which is about 54 verses. Isn't that the promise of the Bible? But the more we look at the Bible from the beginning to the end, the obvious is that God keeps His promises. It's quite scary. People are fumbled about their promises and they are dragged to their souls and shaken by their own feelings. But God isn't like that. God is love itself. He's fair and righteous. In order to keep His promise. We always say God is a faithful God when we keep our promises. In fact, when you look at the Bible and history, God's people have kept the promise of this covenant regardless of the strength or weakness of neighboring countries. So regardless of the situation and environment, we can enjoy the blessing. So I want to encourage you, if you are in trouble and hardship and suffering, I want you to realize God has given the blessing to you in the Word of God. So whatever your circumstances and situation you are at now, I live according to the value of God, according to heaven values. The way the Bible says the blessing is to keep the Word of God. Keeping the Word of God itself is the greatest blessing. God repeatedly says it is blessed to keep the covenant. Even if you don't keep it completely, you try to live according to the heavenly value, according to the covenant. It is a blessing when we want to keep the covenant without forgetting it. Was David complete in terms of keeping the covenant? No, not at all. He was absolutely incomplete. As seen in the case of Ark of Covenant, David did not know God's way, for example. But when he found out, he tried to keep it as much as he knew. God is the one who keeps that promise very faithfully. So I want to encourage you all, even though you are not still complete, do not be afraid. If you are walking right, according to the will of God, even if the present situation and your heart or circumstance is not easy to resolve, it's not easy to break through, the living God in us sees everything and leads us. Amen? So God is the one who promised to give grace and blessing to those who obey His word. It becomes easy to know that the history books is written so that we have kept the Leviticus covenant with God. So let's move on to the second part of the Old Testament, which is poetry books. So there are five poetry books, the Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. But this sometimes fails in the field of keeping promises with God, or sometimes it succeeds greatly. So because of being realized and being informed, thanksgiving, praise, and poetry, praise and wisdom, those who have been blessed and blessed to keep the covenant, or those who have confessed through the years of wandering in the wilderness through their pride and disobedience, it's like a testimony, an autobiography, or the letter of the experience of the throughout their individual lives. So through the five books of poetry in the Old Testament, we can learn how people lived according to the word of God, also against it, and we can learn from the experience what's the consequence of it in either way. Without us directly experiencing it. So the last part are the book of prophets. The book of prophecies describes what happened when the people of God did not live according to the covenant. If you obey, you enjoy blessing, but if you live a life of disobedience, the fire will fall from heaven and the curse will come upon pain and tribulation. God didn't want it, but God didn't plan it, but it was a consequence of not keeping the covenant, not the reference and perseverance. God sent men continually to turn their people. That proves that God doesn't want to curse them. God wants to save them all the time. He was faithfully sending His prophets and continually so that His people could understand and come back and repent. Prophets, and they are all the prophets that came and cried for their sins and for their destiny. So what do these prophets come and do? Is it a praise and prophecy about the future, a blessing future? Not at all. What they say is, if you continue to live without fulfilling the promise, we will perish. They are taken prisoners, they die. You and I will cry. That's basically what most of the prophets have said. For people who hear such rebuke feel good? Probably not. So the one has been sent is to shut up and kill the prophet who God has sent to repent. It is mostly the story of the Bible's prophecy. So as life continues to insist, keep insisting on such disobedience till the New Testament, until God had to send His only Son to forgive our sin, to save all mankind through Jesus Christ. Now God has sent His Son, His only Son, His begotten Son. The people said, "Hey, this is Haya. If you beat me, the farm is ours." And they dragged it out of the vineyard and crucified it. The Luke chapter 20. And when Jesus said this, he said, "What then shall the wicked farmers come to when this farmer comes?" The Matthew chapter 21. This interpretation is that Jesus interpreted this situation of the Old Testament. It was precisely the state of the Pharisees who knew God very well at that time. When we read the Bible from cover to cover, from beginning to the end, do you think the covenant with God was kept properly? No, not at all. Until Jesus came from prophets of the Old Testament, the people of the covenant did not keep their promises, but killed men prophets and kicked them out, even Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because the promise with God is not preserved, the contents of the Bible show the history of pain, the history of suffering, the history of tribulation, history of punishment. It is full of such things when you read the Old Testament. So the Bible's prophecies, the books written in small quantities, especially one or two, are turned away from the preachers, even including nowadays. The preachers who want blessings, those who want only the sound of affirmation, and those who want to please their ears. Often those short chapters of Book of Prophets are ignored to be preached in many churches nowadays. So from those the Book of Prophets, we could read our God's crying heart, His desperation, and His unending love shown towards us, towards His people and all mankind. So when I read the Bible, I say, I should read it until I can read God's heart. I don't know the whole flow and history of the Bible. How can you read God's mind if you divide the Bible into puzzle pieces and see the parts separately throughout many years? Even if you read it and you cannot understand it, you can read it comfortably and easily. Today in preaching at many churches and lectures and seminars and etc., you can see that it conveys the thoughts of the communicators of the Bible and the lecturer's philosophy and the speaker's thoughts, not the message of God and transmission of the Bible. As the churches grow, it can be easily taught the power of justice, the power of affirmation, and try to touch people's emotion. The Bible tells us that the prophets are God sent for those who are willing to justify their own promises will eventually die. Even Jesus, Son of God, came to this earth, to the earth, and was stoned and crucified and died rather than listening to His word. People expect to hear the positive the sermon for the blessing, the power of affirmation, and the emotional fulfillment, and etc. God is crying now to see these generations of disobedience. The church is dancing and shouting to the Almighty God that there is nothing that cannot receive what I want. So our Almighty God, He doesn't tolerate disobedience and the stubborn people. It cannot cope with the utter zeal. So the Bible tells us that on the last day, there will be a saying, I know, I don't know at all. It is the generation of today which is tired, even if we shed tears. The end of the Bible is not a country of happiness. It is a world in which disobedience and greed and laziness and secular enjoyment. The return of Jesus will happen like the thieves and the robbers. The saints and the Christians, the children of God, like us, must be able to read the mind of God and His crying heart through the history of the Bible. And should be able to see His feeling. If you keep the whole skeleton of the Bible, it can become a deeper and healthy the foundation. Through which we can fully appreciate His heart and the context of His word, also stories and history and happening even nowadays. I really hope through going through the Bible as a group in our church, I hope all of you will be able to take the bones of the skeleton of the Bible very well into their mind. I hope it will help you understand God's crying heart and His love given to us. So again, the Old Testament consists of in total 66 books. 39 books. And the New Testament is 27 books, in all up is 66 books. So we've gone through the structure of the Old Testament, the beginning of the promise, the starting point of His covenant and His master plan is formed in the first five books of Moses, the so-called Torah. So including those five books, there is another 12 historic books. So we categorize it as three different books. The first historic books, the second poetry books, the third last one, the prophecy books. So the historic books, the 17 books, including five books of Moses, and the other 17 books is the prophecy books, and the last five books, the poetry books. Again, let me summarize that how the book of the five books of Moses is related to each other, as shown in the screen at the moment. The center of the five books, which are most important, the starting point of covenant, the center is the Leviticus, which is literally written the first before all the other books. Because that's the first moment God has given His word, His commandments, in written form at Mount Sinai through Moses. So the center of the five books is Leviticus, and the other four books related to that. So the book of Genesis, the first book of Bible, which shows who God is, who is God who has made a covenant with us. And Exodus is showing the story and the process how God has given the covenant. It shows all the process till the moment God has given the covenant. And the book of Numbers, it shows that after the Israelites received the commandments, they were trained. It shows how they lived according to it in the wilderness for 40 years. And the book of Deuteronomy, which was a summary of the Leviticus, a sermon by Moses, actually as the last sermon before he passed away, before the Israelites cross the Jordan River to get to enter into the promised land. The target audience was a second generation of Israelites, except Joshua and Caleb, who are part of the first generation who observed God's miracle, his intervention. So this is the skeleton or the whole forest of the Old Testament we need to know before we reading book by book in more details. So I want to know the Bible in the current order of the Bible in order according to the Jews, the tradition and custom, is the order in which they consider the importance of the Bible. The law is the most important to them as well, so then the prophecy, and I think it is more important than Joshua book, book of Joshua, because they think it is a written text. So again, the Torah is the foundation of the Bible and the beginning of the faith. The true faith we are supposed to have. So in the Bible, we can see that it is the word, the written form, that refers to the core of the Bible when we say the law and prophets. No matter how important it is, the foundation of faith, it is of no use unless we learn it as we read. The Bible tells the story of His work that continues from creation through the story of God and man until now. But even though the God exists, the world continues to develop. But it is always flowing with evil greed according to our sinful nature. We say that the cause of this world is written in Torah, the beginning of the Old Testament. So I call the five books of Moses is the key to understanding the story of the Bible and the life of a human being. So hopefully all of us can see a big picture of the Old Testament. If you read at least the Old Testament in this way, you will see God's work and His masterpiece in His crying heart. God has sent a set of prophets. They shouldn't send more. It's enough to put His own, the only begotten on the cross. He has given His most valuable one to us with His crying heart in the midst of pain and suffering. If we don't know His crying heart, if we don't realize what He wants, we may live according to worldly and the fleshly desires and according to our greed, attending churches. I keep the Sabbath. It's not enough. You should be able to read His heart through the Bible given to us. So to live a life of light and salt as a true saint, again, God has had to send His only Son to forgive us. Till then, all mankind didn't obey to God, didn't acknowledge His true love. So let us understand His painful heart through the word given to us. So first of all, as we thoroughly sympathize with the Old Testament, with the mind of God and His heart, and we see the Jesus' second coming, we will see a new world of the New Testament. Then we will have fully appreciate the experience of the Holy Spirit, who brings the truth in us through the Bible, so we can meet the true love of God. If you don't meet this true heart of God, you want to read the word and living according to it. As the people walk on the journey of the numbers, the book of Numbers, they will soon wander around in the wilderness if they don't know truly the heart of God. So therefore, through the Bible given to us, we must taste the love of God, which cannot be changed, which is invariant to anything throughout the world until the end. We must meet those sincerities, be overwhelmed by the love of God. Without this experience, it is just a state of knowing the information in the Bible. We need to meet His love through the Holy Spirit, through our personal life. I hope that precious experience that are truly born again will overflow in your life. I hope that God will meet you through these words and prayer, and earn you to pray that Holy Spirit of truth will lead you to meet God's heart and His love. Amen.